Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug.
So we should have a blooper reel.
This is a blooper reel, so we're actually live right now. So welcome everyone. Welcome to Lightning Bug. I'm Dwayne Heisler.
And I'm Jessica Britton.
And this is Lightning Bug.
We're going. It might be messy. We don't even know.
It's okay. It'll all work out. We have a really special show today. It's a little bit different.
It's a very special episode.
And so let's see what we have lined up. We are going to talk a little bit about some local politics. We have something that has happened on our town council and with the town of Bloomsburg, so we have to address that. Indeed. And then on the last podcast, we talked about sharing our personal stories. What has brought us to the point where we are today politically?
Yes.
And so we'll discuss that. And we're looking forward to, by the way, we're going to have Toni Bell come on, not today, but maybe for next week or the week after, so that she can share her story because
she's got an amazing one.
She really does. And it's something like 2 years ago, she would have never thought that she would be involved politically like she is. And I think it's a story that we're going to be able to relate to. We're also going to talk about the moral revival of the Poor People's Campaign later on.
So important.
And we'll see where we're going to be able to squeeze in, like, what's it gonna take, and the Millennial Minute, and of course, you know what that is, right? What is that?
I don't know. Okay. What is it?
it's the international sound for chicken and waffles.
I don't think that's correct, but you seem to think that that's correct, so we'll roll with it.
We still have to figure it out, I think.
I think we're working.
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a chicken. Well,
what
at
do
all.
Waffles sound like? Whatever it is, it's the opposite.
A toaster popping up.
Oh, a toaster?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting other props?
No. I am not. We're going to need a bigger recording area if we want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we're going to expand to toasters and chicken sounds.
Toasters and, I do not want a live chicken in our studio when we record. I don't think that would be good.
And we'd have to make sure, of course, that no chickens were harmed during our broadcast.
There's a whole thing. We don't want PETA to get involved, so...
No, that would be bad.
Avoid that.
Bad framing.
We love animals here at Lightning Bug.
Of course we do.
We're named after
Hey, what about... We had a young person come in talking to us about social media campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
And she came up with that idea of finding a space on campus and calling it...
Dogs and Dems.
I
love that.
I love it too.
I don't have a dog.
You can use one of ours. We have three.
Can I bring my cat?
I don't think that kind of works with the dogs there.
Cats and Democrats?
I don't know. On campus, you think?
Democrats and cats?
I don't know.
All right, fine. My cat's afraid of everything, so I wouldn't really do it.
Probably not a good choice.
Can I just rent one of your dogs?
Absolutely. Perfect. For free. The price is free. Yep. So we'll have to figure out which one. But the idea is to be in that space and to be there with your pets. And, you know, people go away to school. They leave their dogs at home, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they do it at the Renaissance Fairs. They have rescues and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the idea is having something there where you can kind of bridge the gap and create.
It's a connection.
Yeah.
And I have a college-age student in my family, and she will run 3 miles if she sees a dog to go pet it.
Well, then we need to be doing this.
I think that this is a good idea.
Well, we'll let our listeners know how that pans out and how we plan.
Another cliffhanger. Stay tuned, everyone.
Dogs and Democrats.
We've got a while to think about it because the students are home for the summer.
Yeah, so well, summer
we
law,
have till the fall to figure it out.
Be a kick-ass plan,
obviously.
It would
be great to do that right before the voter registration deadline for the November election. So
there
maybe
we
can think about that.
Maybe we can do it on National Voter Registration Day.
Maybe we could.
Oh my gosh, we're planning it right now.
Oh my gosh.
It's happening.
Is your dog available that day? What's
on his
schedule?
I have to check their schedules. Oh, today is Hermes' birthday.
Oh,
or
fun.
Horace. I'm sorry, Horace's birthday.
Okay.
Horace's birthday is
very
today.
Very exciting.
He's 3 years old.
Did you make him a cake?
No.
Oh.
I didn't. Well, I'll give him an extra biscuit. I'll play more with him today. We'll figure it out.
You could have made the dog a cake.
Yeah.
Do you have any familiarity with making dog treats?
Yes, I do.
I should have made him a special treat.
I could do that. All right. So what's happening in Bloomsburg? We had some news with our mayor, right?
We did. So as we had reported about a month ago, I would say, the mayor of Bloomsburg has now resigned. He was facing solicitation charges.
Right.
And has now, as of last Thursday, which is we're recording the following Wednesday, so not quite a week ago.
Yeah, today is May 23rd.
Yeah, this was on Thursday I'm looking. Whatever date that was, that is not coming up on my thing. But
that's
anyway,
okay.
He resigned, and basically in his statement, which I think was a good move, the town of Bloomsburg needs to focus on the tasks that it needs to focus on, running an efficient local government, which is challenging enough. So I think that it was a good move. I think that it was good that he resigned, without getting into too many of the specifics again of the situation. I think that it was a good move, and now the town of Bloomsburg can move forward, and we have to figure out what that means exactly as far as selecting a new mayor, but I think it's great that we're moving in the right direction.
So, and what did our Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, say about it? And by the way, I'm a fan of Josh Shapiro. I think that, looking forward, I don't know if this is on his radar, but I think he'd be one hell of a governor, right?
I think it is.
But anyway.
Shapiro's statement was short and sweet, and his quote was, "This mayor flouted the law." Excuse me, flouted the law and solicited sex from a prostitute on multiple occasions, and then goes on to say that no one is above the law and that this sort of behavior is unacceptable. So
let's flip the coin a little bit. I mean, because Mayor Bauer has been making the statement that this is not someone he picked up on the street. This is someone that he's known for a long time, has an ongoing relationship with, and basically, they have a sexual relationship. And occasionally, it has happened where, where is the line? So you are having a casual relationship with someone, right? And they say, I could really use $25 or that's just a random number. I have no idea,
we don't know what the finance situation
do you have an abacus? Like, I have no clue.
I do not know enough about that.
No, I don't. But anyway, so it's like, okay, well, yeah, here, so where does that line stop? I mean, between I hate to use this term, but sugar daddy or that kind of if I need a few bucks, I hit you up. And you know what? We also occasionally have sex. So.
Yeah, no, and we don't know. And no one ever knows the real details of anyone else's relationship. And it's hard. It's hard to look at it and say, oh, for certain, this is how it was. I don't know. You don't know.
Well, apparently that's what the hearing's going to be about. And that's what the case is going to be about. And that's what we'll know. And so it's really hard for us to speculate when we are not privy to that information on both sides. So,
but I think when we have a situation where there's a mayor that was multiple times since being put in office only 5 months ago, we've had multiple times where there have been, issues with the law. I think that moving forward for Bloomsburg, him resigning was probably the best move. So what happens? Do you know what the system is for getting a new mayor in place? I don't.
Well, the town council apparently has to vote on it. So,
oh, okay.
And there's some discussion about that. They're not allowed to comment on it.
Oh, okay.
I think actually Toni Bell would be an excellent mayor. She's filling a 2-year slot, so she wouldn't be giving up a 4-year term in order to fill that role until the next election.
She's going to be really excited when she listens to this.
I know, really. It's like
we just started her campaign.
Yes, there we go. Well, Toni, I just think she would be awesome. She is so focused and level-headed and articulate and a scholar. I mean, she won't open her mouth until she knows the facts that are on the ground.
Yeah.
And I have such respect for her.
I have to say that both, and Bonnie Crawford, too, who got the most votes out of all the town council members in the last election. I'm so proud of the women on this town council.
Well, she's now in charge of the police force, right? Because right. that's because we that have a strong
taken,
mayor.
It was taken away from yeah, the so mayor Bonnie's while now he was doing still in that. Office. So Bonnie's now doing that. And again, I just have to say, like, it's so exciting to see these, you know, power ladies doing their thing awesome. on the town council. And that's exciting to see moving forward in any capacity.
So, and I know that we're not alone here in Columbia County, Pennsylvania. People that are listening to this now probably have their own stories about local government and local politics. And so feel free to share those at any time with comments on our,
sure.
On our broadcast here. So, so let's move from that to what we promised, which were our personal stories. And just to give a little bit of background, I think that it's very important with any kind of organizational growth. I mean, I've been a business person my whole life, you know, for almost three decades of, and the work that I've done there, you know, if we had, let's say, half of our staff coming on board and they were new, and all we were going to do was hand them the manual and say, here's the orientation, this is where the voting locations are, this is where you do that, we'd be missing the boat big time, because you need to build relationships. People have to get to know each other. And if you look at what's happening now across the country, now more than ever, we have progressive individuals, we have activists that are now joining the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So then maybe this falls under what could possibly go wrong, right?
I think it does. And I think to me, knowing someone's motivation and knowing their backstory makes me understand what they're trying to do a little bit more. And I think it allows us to help people find the right path for them moving forward.
So instead of thinking what could possibly go wrong or fearing what could go wrong, and I think that there may be some chairs of county Democratic committees that might be worried about this influx of new people. I'm thinking about the opportunity that's there, the capacity building,
so
and organizational building. Exactly. And so, and the way that we get to that is by making sure that we talk about the values that are important to us and tell our personal stories, which are rooted in our values. We make those connections. And when we do, we can have effective one-on-one communicating, because that's what builds commitment. Instead of worrying like, oh, I need someone to cover, like we need someone to be our vice chair, or we need someone to be the head of the activities committee. Like, who can we find to fill a slot?
Yeah.
We think about, you know, and you see this when a volunteer says, oh, you know what? I don't want Marilyn to be all alone. I'm going to volunteer and I'll be with you, Marilyn. I'll come.
Right.
And we kind of hope that that happens, but hope isn't a plan.
Right.
What if every county actually had a plan for building those relationships?
I think that that's wonderful. I think that for me, and I can say this, you know, not really being involved with the local party, you know, I was politically active, but I wasn't involved in the local party. And it wasn't until, honestly, I got to know you a little bit better. I got to know a few other people a little bit better. And that was a motivator for me to keep coming back.
Right.
And I think that other people could have that same experience. We just have to be talking to them, and we have to be building those relationships.
So, because otherwise you're going to have the typical cycle where you have all these people show up for the first meeting, and then you hope that they come back. And, you know, you didn't do anything meaningfully to build a team. You got one shot at it.
Yeah.
And we saw this even on the activist, progressive, indivisible side.
Yes.
All these people that showed up for that first meeting, and then there was this drop off. Now, there's been since building that has happened on that. But we go through these cycles of big meeting, drop off. And,
yeah.
and it's leadership development. It's relationship. It's not transactional. It's transformative.
Yeah.
Build, you know,
and
building these relationships.
Effectively communicating with people so that they can be doing the work that they really want to do, or they wouldn't have come in the first place. So
I have a title for my story.
You have
a, I came up with a title. I call it Everything Was Wrong.
Oh.
It was. So let me go back. It's okay. It's good. So I have a lot of different stories about, I've been politically active for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about what's brought me to this moment and this podcast, it's a little bit different. There's a specific story. And sadly, it does go back to the 2016 election.
Sure.
So let me just paint the picture. So I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders. And when that didn't happen, I went to convention in Philadelphia. When that didn't happen, I went full in on Hillary, did door knocking. knocking, made phone calls. In fact, I was the person in charge of the phone bank right here in Columbia County the night of the election.
Oh, okay.
So there I am the night of the election, and we have all these volunteers there. And they kept on saying, can we stop now? Is it okay now? And I'm like, no. Like, right? It's like people can still get to the polls. We were working from lists that we had where we checked off people had already been there.
Trying to stop at 7:59.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and I was kind of really driving that. But as the night is going on, I'm hearing people coming back saying, oh my gosh, there's such lines at the polls and all these people, and they think that's a good thing, and I know that it's not. You know, I knew that it was not. I saw the writing on the wall. I saw how bad the fight was in Virginia, and I always thought, this is not good. I know where this is going. So I actually left the party early. Like, I knew, I left the party. I took Chris. I'm like, this is not good. They don't get it. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it was so clear to me. And went home. And then we got home, and we were, the TV was on.
It's okay. Take a minute. It won't come out of your time.
So, okay. Pause. And so we were watching. And once again, what I had feared was unfolding.
Yeah.
In front of my eyes. And I thought, you know what? I know what where this is going. I'm going to bed. So I went to bed and, of course, could not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And neither could Chris. And at about like 3 or 4 in the morning, we got up. We sat in the living room with our dogs and just talked.
Yeah.
And we talked about what this could mean, where this was going, what was happening. And then I realized what my schedule for the week was.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning at 8:00, I was speaking for the Coalition for Social Equity. So think about that for a moment at the university.
Yeah.
At the university. And that was a really tough breakfast meeting that we had talking about, you know, how we were moving forward with our mission, you know. And then on that Friday, I was a guest speaker. I was the keynote speaker for a march of diversity that was called It's a Love Thing.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And then the following Tuesday, I was going to the headquarters for the Democratic meeting for our last meeting because we were closing our headquarters because we had only had them open on gubernatorial and presidential years,
right,
which we don't do anymore. But anyway, that was it. And so when I say everything was wrong, everything was wrong. I felt like I was crawling under a rock.
Right.
And it was at that moment that I said, this cannot happen. This is not acceptable. We need a progressive infrastructure in this county and in this area and in rural Pennsylvania. And closing our headquarters for the Democratic Party is not the way to do that. And so I challenged people at the rally, and I challenged people at the Democratic meeting and at the social equity meeting to say, is this what we want? We should keep this open. And
right,
people came. They came forward, they heard the message, we had a record number of people show up, and we have that headquarters today.
Yeah.
And then we began the work as, you know, I was one of the principals with starting Indivisible, which actually now is working with the county party in terms of sharing the space.
Yep.
And we started our movement and building the infrastructure, which is all the work with the hub, all the work with Action Together, and having 2 podcasts and a radio spot, we're building that infrastructure. And that's what brought me to this moment, because I knew that it changed me and it empowered me.
Right.
You know, that was really important, that the headquarters led to Indivisible, that led to the work, the organizing work that I'm doing, even through my occupation
and now
and my job.
Look at what you're doing now, exactly.
So that's my story, and I took a little bit more time with it, but
no, that's okay. And I think we sort of joked last time that it was 2 minutes, hard 2 minutes moving forward. But I think down the road, maybe we can do a 2-minute story, but I think it is important for people to understand where we're coming from.
We have a little bit more time. We were going to have a third person.
We do have a little bit more time, and we have the flexibility to do that. So I think that's great. Do you want me to dive right in? Or
yeah, please
you,
okay. do. I okay. want to hear your story.
Okay. So my origins of being politically active went back to college. So I'm 35 now, so we're going back a little over a decade. You know, I was a college student during the George W. Bush administrations. And as a woman, that was a really rough time to be politically active. It was really hard that every day that administration was attacking the rights that women have to make choices about their own bodies. And those choices affect everything for women moving forward. So that was the origin story for me for when I originally got involved. And then, you know, I did some work for Planned Parenthood during that time while I was in college. And that was, you know, amazing work that was really fulfilling. And then my story took a turn and I went a different direction professionally. So fast forward to only a few months out from the 2016 election, and I hear candidate Donald Trump say that women who have had abortions should go to jail. So that affected me in a really real way. First of all, because A, the standard for when these things happen is that the when there are bans on abortion, it is the doctor that is legally liable in those situations. So just the fact that this is a person running for president, this is, you know, these are healthcare choices that affect half of the country that are women.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't understand, like he's too clueless to understand that this is the way that this works. But then also just the thought alone of, you know, locking up women who are making a choice for themselves and for their families that you don't know anything about. People make these choices for a lot of reasons, and just to pass judgment in any situation is terrible. So that really motivated me to get involved, but I really didn't think he was gonna win. So I had that moment. I'm not sure as early as you did on election night, but when I started to see that things were not good, and I just said, okay, I can't do this anymore, and just went to bed. I told my kids to go to bed, like, because they were like really excited that Hillary was gonna win. And woke up the next morning, and my stepson, the first thing he said to me was, "So, are we moving to Canada now?" I mean, he was joking, but I said, nope, we stay here and we fight like hell to make sure that we don't end up in a country run by him and let that take over everything that we want to do. So moving forward in the next, you know, month or two, I think is when I met you and got involved with the County Democratic Party and got involved with the formation of Indivisible. And went to the Women's March in January of 2017, and that's why I'm here now, doing this work, working for a local, also doing work for a local family planning clinic that is seeing funding cuts and new attacks all the time. And I just think that moving forward, this is the kind of work that needs to be done to safeguard against the kinds of things that this administration is doing.
The whole narrative about rounding women up and locking them up and going to jail,
yeah,
based on their reproductive rights is just so Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Like, scary as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and you look at that program, if anyone's ever watched the program, you look at that and you think, how could we get there? And, you know, like, the map is there.
It is there.
And I don't want to be paranoid about it, but when you have a candidate for president saying that people, you know, regardless of their circumstances, should go to jail, mm-hmm, for choosing what's lawful and what they need to do based upon what they need in their own lives for, right, their own health and at the advice of their doctor,
right,
and other family members, that is, you know, that's where that mentality is just frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. And I just will let people in on a personal conversation that you and I had the other day. You would ask me if I watched The Handmaid's Tale, and I said, I started to, and just, I couldn't watch it, because I'm like, you know what, this is a little too, I think 5 years ago, in the happiness of the Obama administration, I would have been able to watch it and look at it very differently, and now it's a little too scary.
Yeah, it is. So I haven't gotten through, they're in the end of their, I guess they're in the second season.
Yeah.
I think we're just starting the second season.
Gotcha.
Kind of binged on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting. So, where does this put us with, you know, our stories in terms of the Millennial Minute? What do you think about that?
I think for me, like, looking at the time other than the last year and a half, the time that I was most active was when I was what would more be considered a millennial at this point. I was in college. I was super young. I had a lot of energy. And I was willing to really get out there and work for these things. And I was very lucky. On the campus of Bloomsburg University, we had a huge student base that was very motivated. So what we have to ask now is, okay, so where is that now? Because it's not in existence the way that it was when I was in college. I don't know why, but what I have seen and what I've noticed, and maybe you've noticed this as well, is that while students may not be going to the party or going to, you know, any sort of structure that seems overly political, they're really motivated about certain issues,
mm-hmm.
really motivated about the environment, really motivated about anything involving diversity. So, you know, maybe
gun violence.
We need to, and gun violence, perfect, another right. perfect example. So, you know, maybe we need to look at these types of stories that motivated us, that motivated, you know, other people that we know to get involved, and ask those questions of millennials that we know and say, okay, so what would it take for you to take the next steps? If this is your backstory and this is your motivation and this is your drive, what would it take to get you there? What's it going to take? What would it take to get you right. politically active on these issues that you already care about?
Right, right. So, guess what? I want to do a commercial break.
Okay.
We haven't had any commercials. And so we have something coming up here, which is like ride the blue wave, join the blue wave, join the party.
So exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. DemFest 2018.
Woo!
DemFest.
Yeah.
DemFest. So it's Saturday, June 30th from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock at Knobels Grove Amusement Park in Elysburg, Pennsylvania. We're in tent number 6. We're able to hold 500 people there, which
awesome.
Is a big group for us here in this county. There is a picnic lunch, which is optional, that starts at noon, which is $10. We have live music featuring Hops and Vines, which
nice.
Is kind of an acoustic group that does a lot of like blues and jazz and or rock, some blues and rock mostly. And we also have a warm-up group, and I forget what they're called, but they do a lot of political kind of satire, which is kind of fun. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. We will have discount tickets for rides in the park, discount tickets for food in the park. We are going to have a keynote speaker, which we hope to announce very soon, running for state. We'll get to that. But some big names that are going to be there, which is fantastic. And so it's a rally. It's a place where you can – the park is beautiful. This is the time of year to go, where you can bring your family to an event like this and then spend the rest of the day in the park. And so if you would like tickets, you can call 570-317-6214. That's tickets for DemFest on June 30th, Saturday from 11 until 2. $10 tickets for the lunch is, and it's a traditional picnic lunch, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, that kind of thing. 570-317-6214 or online, you can check out DemFest 2018 at Eventbrite and you can order your tickets online. So,
yeah. And search for the event on Facebook as well, which will have that link for you, which is nice.
Yep.
So I'm excited. Let me tell you why I'm excited.
Tell me why you're excited.
Knobels ice cream is the best thing.
Oh yes, the creamery. Yes.
I'm so excited. Like I'm ready to go right now. Can we go right now?
I guess we could.
I don't think they're open.
I used to
so
work near there, and occasionally when we'd have a bad day at the office, we'd run there and jump on the Phoenix and scream.
See?
That's the roller, the wooden roller coaster that brought in from San Antonio, Texas. They have some world-class wooden roller coasters
there.
Free admission to the park.
Phoenix was the first roller coaster I ever went on in my life.
What about the haunted house? It's so cool.
It is so cool.
It's like iconic.
Scares me. I'm 35 years old. I jump out of my seat every time that horn goes off.
So much fun. So much
true.
Fun.
We're talking about our personal stories. There's a personal
There we go. Story. So DemFest 2018, Saturday, June 30th from 11 until 2. Bring the family. Get your tickets, 570-317-6214. $10 picnic lunch. Hops and Vines will be there. Food, entertainment, an amusement park. You know.
What more could you want?
I know, really. DemFest. It's ride the blue wave. Join the party.
Perfect.
Yay. So,
Yay,
our first commercial. Okay.
I like that we're acting as though we've inserted something and we're doing all of it at the same time.
I know.
But it's so
hey, funny. They have chicken and waffles there.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, of course they do. It's Knobels.
I feel like you're making that up.
There's waffles and ice cream, and I know
I
they have chicken.
I was going to say, there is.
You cannot make your ownies.
All right, you win on a technicality.
They do have chicken, and they do have waffles.
Fine.
They also have the sucking pig. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Oh, my gosh. It's right by the Alamo.
No, I do.
It's that big, like, paper mache pig head.
Very different direction with that.
You can, well, I always tell people when they say, where do you want to meet? I say, let's meet at the sucking pig. And they're like, what? And it's this garbage thing, this recyclable where you take paper and you hold it in front of the pig's mouth and it sucks the paper out of your hand.
Right.
It's the sucking pig.
It's not disturbing at all.
No, not at all. Of course not. I mean, everyone needs a sucking pig.
Sure. That's what I always say.
I think so. What's an amusement park without one?
No, for sure.
A great meeting point.
I love it. I think it's wonderful. Blue Wave, though, shouldn't we be meeting like at one of the water rides?
Oh, at the Flume or something. Yeah. The Flume ride. Oh, that's an idea. Yeah. Well, we're going to be under that tent, so that's where we'll meet there. But whenever I like have, I live very close
to
the park.
I'm just teasing.
Okay.
I'm a little jealous of how close you live to Knoebels.
You have to come out sometime.
If we're being honest.
Come out to the place. That'd be nice.
We will.
Okay. So, you know what? There is something that's happening, and I want to touch on it. I know we're about out of time here, but this is happening all over the country, and I know we usually talk about local, and DemFest is kind of a statewide event, and we told our personal stories, but across the country, there's been the Poor People's Campaign, their moral revival, which is really, and Harrisburg is, you know, Pennsylvania is one of those states. Every Monday, they're having these meetings. We have some big ones coming up, but what are your thoughts on the work that they're doing with the Poor People's Campaign?
I think it's amazing, and maybe we should give a little bit of backstory to the Poor People's Campaign.
Sure.
This is the campaign that Dr. Martin Luther King was working on when he was assassinated. We've talked about Dr. King a couple times on this podcast and how, you know, how important he is to really so many issues that we're looking at right now. So important for civil rights, for workers' rights, look at the title
Racial
of this
injustice.
Campaign. Yeah, the title of this campaign, the Poor People's Campaign, recognizing that economic injustice plays a huge role in the way that people live their lives, and that solving some of those problems and economic equality could make so many people's quality of lives so much better. So I think that it's just important, especially when we're talking about what's happening right now, to mention Dr. King's name and say, like, this is your chance to be involved with a movement that, you know, he was very dedicated to at the time of his death. So it has been revived, and I think that that's amazing.
So we encourage you to look up the Poor People's Campaign. It's in every state. You can plug into that, see what kind of work that they're doing. You know, it makes me think of, we talked about it on the last episode about Paul Wellstone, where he said, we all do better when we all do better.
Yes.
Right? And I know that that's not part of the Poor People's Campaign.
No, but it's a very similar message.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So I would encourage you to do that. And so with that being said, we talked once again about our local mayor and local government. We talked about our personal stories. We had a conversation about, I ended up being a conversation about DemFest, right?
It's good to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jason Kander said, you know, the Blue Wave is not a weather event. It needs to be enacted. It needs to be executed. And so this is part of doing that by joining us at DemFest in central Pennsylvania. And to wrap it up, I'd like to say that we are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are certainly not alone. We are Lightning Bug.